You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I am Tom.
And we are in disparate places today. We are all over the known world, perhaps also Atlas Incognita or Atlas Obscura, whichever one is the unknown world. Perhaps we are there as well. And before we move any further, let's give a shout out to our sponsors.
Thank you. I'm reporting live from a rented minivan right now. So from the rented minivan of my heart, thank you to Convulse Records.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Live a Lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Hell yeah.
So we usually do this little shout out. I'm going to try to think maybe, you know, kind of off the cuff here, just something nice, random, or that comes to mind when you think of these folks. Convulse Records, shout out to Adam and folks. Someone broke into their storage unit.
What the fuck?
Broke into the storage unit. They run the label out of, stole some stuff. So he's like, damn, some order's going to have missing stuff. You know how this benevolent, crazy, wonderful human is? You know how he responds? He's like, oh, so if something's missing from your order, I'm going to refund it and send you some random stuff too. Oh, that's so cool. Shout out Convulse.
It's also, people forget, because I don't know how common it is anymore, getting random stuff, even if it was like the cutout bin stuff, was always a joy. You know, yeah. whenever a mail order would say like, well, yeah, you know, we've been sitting on this Palehead CD for 4 years. Here you go. You go. Thank you.
My State of the Nation long sleeve from Revelation is one of my prized Rev items. So thanks for that free in the mail order in 99, maybe. Shout out to Will to Live a Lie. They vended at the Static Shock. Is it Static Shock? Not Static Shock.
What are you asking right now?
Hold on, my brain. Hold on. This is the old man. There was a big weekend this past weekend in Raleigh. Static Shock, Toxic State, but it's not that one. Which one is it? It's the record store. It's really good. Come on, help. Let's see who finds it first. My brain is hurting. Sorry State. It's Sorry State. Thank you. Will was at Sorry State, and they killed it and posted some cool photos, posted a photo with Felix Havoc from Havoc Records, and that's cool too. So shout out to Live a Lie. Let's see, Run for Cover. Jeff at Run for Cover has been posted his Spotify, and only surprisingly to people who don't know the dude, it was almost exclusively heavy music. That dude who puts out soft as a feather, light as a pillow music sometimes, secretly heavy music aficionado.
Love it.
Mm.
And you know who's not secretly a heavy music aficionado? Not secretly, Justin Loudon, aka Dusty Cloudin, aka the finest 518er left in the building, Closed Casket Activities. He pried open the secret jar for us the other week. He's got some cool stuff coming up. Full stop.
And I got a confirmation on one because I saw one person the other day and they confirmed. So it's fucking big.
Yeah. Yo, shout out Closed Casket Activities. 2023, 2024, 2020 infinity. Shout out. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
Good. Just got back from a trip to Jakarta.
I just got back from band practice.
Oh, mm.
There you go. And I went to a hardcore show yesterday that I could talk about.
We want to hear about that.
I've got hardcore shows to talk about. You've got hardcore shows to talk about. Bob, you got any hardcore shows to talk about?
The ones you guys went to. Let's go.
Okay. How much you guys know about Jakarta?
Not
a little
much.
Bit. Heard it's described by locals as okay, but there's many finer Southeast Asian cities. Is that correct?
So, yeah, I have to re-up my visa in Australia. And,
what kind of visa is that? What's the formal term for it?
So, I thought I was still on a tourist visa. As it turns out, this is of interest to nobody. As it turns out, when I got hassled at the border or at the customs this morning, I'm still on my temporary work visa that I had from touring Australia. So they wanted to harass me and then said, oh, sorry. And I said, oh, sorry. And they said, yes, you are. We will harass you next time. And I said, okay, thanks. So and I'm to the customs agent that listens to all my podcasts. I am partially to blame. I came in really hot today. It was 2 a.m. I was, you know, when you assume the worst of an exchange, so you come in nasty and then you make it the worst.
I'm out of order. You're out of order. This whole system's out of order.
Yeah, so I came in and the guy asked me a very simple question. He didn't mean shit by it.
Is your name Patrick Clayton? And you're like, fuck you, your mother, everybody looks like you.
Yeah,
I came in hot and it was unnecessary and I almost made more problems for myself than I needed.
But I have a question for you, Pat, before we continue.
Yes.
That will dovetail with my review of the show I went to.
Please.
Are you actually related to Kate 08?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Cousins.
Because she posted like, so I feel like you have done us a disservice because we talk about 108 like with such glowing terms that I feel like we should have been up front being like, there is some blood bias that like, you know, I got, you know, for full transparency, you know, like when they're like, you know, fucking Rolling Stone is a Murdoch company, so we can't talk, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Well, disclosures. Yeah.
So I don't think she would mind me saying this. So far as I know, Kate's relationship with her father is a complex one. And it's not like we were vacationing together.
Did you know you were related, or did it take you a minute? Like, because you probably knew her as Kate 08 or Kate Reddy for the majority of the time.
I did not find out until.
You did that ABC show? Like, you did like the roots of your family? And like,
No. I think I might have been working at EVR at the time.
So it's been a while.
Story. I approached her and said, hey, I think we're related. And she said, how?
And she goes, who the fuck
I said,
you?
Your father is my father's cousin. And she just said, oh, I don't speak to my father. And then like went and got more potato salad or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was not like.
Well, how did you find that out?
I don't recall. I honestly don't remember because my parents didn't know.
So let's do this though really quick. Pat, between your maternal and paternal sides, you're related to half of upstate New York.
Yeah, well that's the other thing, right? My father's side is extensive. Like my father has, I don't know, 7 great grandchildren to give you an idea of how, like, you know, it's a big family.
It's prolific.
Yeah. So, his cousin, is so for you, this is Albany lore, everybody. My father makes the papers a couple times in his life for criminal activity. His cousin makes the paper or used to, I think he's in the, later stages of his life now. But His cousin used to make the paper every few weeks because he was Albany's premier attorney. And it was kind of, you know, I couldn't win.
Dueling banjos kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I got pulled over by cops in a car or whatever, there was no way to win because they either know my father or they know the guy that has beat them in court on like you know, somebody like somebody who family annihilated and he got them. He got them 6 months probation or whatever, you know?
Right.
So that's why you went as Pat Picavi for all those years, because you really
exactly.
get out of here.
That's why
him and his French roommate. That's right. They were going by that name for a long time.
Came up again recently. Just like the French guy.
He's not French. So
he's not French is one of my favorite Axe to Grind quotes. So let's keep that going. Roll out.
We do know Pierre. You can be named Pierre without being French, right? We all know this.
I don't think so.
All right, well,
I mean, maybe like a little bit French, though, right? It's like, as the members of Jail said, we're not Italian, but we are from New Jersey. So, like, you know, 1%. Right.
Did you meet anybody named Pierre in Jakarta, Pat?
No, I did not. Uh-huh. Okay.
So
let me talk
about Jakarta.
So I go to Jakarta. To my Australian handlers that listen to my podcast, I have every intention of getting a partnership visa. It is a process. Thank you for your concern.
Do they have a dossier? So, do people actually listen?
The customs guy will sit me down and say, so I see, you're a musician. And I say, that's right. And he'll say, that's
Murder
your
Church?
Job. And I'll say, that's one of my jobs. And he'll say, what about Axe to Grind? And I'll be like,
that's right.
What are you, my fucking IRS? You know what I mean?
Like, hey, 80s March Madness. Where's the next step? He's like, what's going on? You're dragging your feet.
So listen, going for the partnership visa, but I had to leave and come back. So, go to Jakarta. I did not realize that there was going to be a show this weekend. Justice just hit me with a text and when he was in Australia talking about how much he enjoyed Australia and what a nice life decision I made. Because Australia does have a they did not play Perth. They played the East Coast. But Australia has a really, really good vibe. If you're from the United States, it comes off much less stressful than the United States. So anytime somebody's here, they typically will tell me, damn, spot is nice. You did a good job. So Justice hits me with one of those texts and we just bullshitting about what we got coming up and all this. And I say, yeah, I got to go to Jakarta. And he says, whoa. He says, we're playing. And I said, what day? Blah, blah, blah. It all lined up. So,
whoa. Oh, I love this. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I go to an Angel Dust show.
Shorty.
Okay. Yeah, damn, shorty. So I go to an Angel Dust show in Jakarta, and shout out to everybody who said hello. I did not expect – I expected somebody to look at me because I was the only white guy in the room, but I did not expect more than one person to recognize me. But apparently Pure Noise does their job and the
– Patty got recognized.
I got recognized.
It's like a scene out of Indiana Jones. Patrick's walking down the street and small children are pointing out, self-defense family.
I was really surprised that there was a lot of people knew me from self-defense, which I did never anticipate. It was really nice. Everybody was really nice. People don't understand. Jakarta has some of the worst traffic in the world, and I just wanted to point this out. I did write the entire way there. I took a train and walked. Total walking time, 25 minutes maybe. It's not a pedestrian city in any way. There's no sidewalks. You are always kind of touching the side of a truck when you're walking. So I'm alive. I arrive. I'm across the street from the venue. I can see kids. I'm ready to step into the street. I'm looking the correct way on a one-way street. I'm looking at the only direction traffic would be reasonably coming on a one-way street. I step into the street because there's nobody's coming. Let's go. And I can't really describe how chaotic the roadways are, but just picture it in your head. Like,
right.
You know, like somebody did, reprogrammed Frogger to be, like a troll game where you can't win. you know, and that's what it felt like. So I'm looking in the correct direction. I step into the traffic and a guy runs over my shoe and
he was
going the wrong way on a one-way street. And there was no way for me to anticipate. I mean, the way to anticipate would be me.
You look both ways, but
looking both ways. Yes. Something you tell children and really I should have done, but I'm keeping my eyes on the prize of cars are coming that way. I did not expect the dude on a scooter to almost dislocate my kneecap coming the opposite way, but all good, whatever. Cross the street. I'm the white guy in the room. But in the parking lot, somebody recognizes me who a very nice guy who I've met in New York. He travels a bit, by the way, that's a cool scene. There's a lot of people in bands and there's more touring in Jakarta than I would ever think. These bands.
It's so impressive. So impressive.
Listen, we're going to talk about the following day. I met up with somebody I met at the show, Gaga, who plays in a band called Modern Guns. They've got kind of like a Defeater Touche sort of sound, and they'll play in front of 2,000 kids in Jakarta. 2,000. I was trying to explain to him that's bigger than any band in the United States outside of Turnstile and Knocked Loose.
Turnstile, Knocked Loose. Sure.
He's very
modern guns.bandcamp.com for everybody out there. Modern guns.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so they'll play in front of 2,000 kids. They play the big festivals. They managed to do a 20-day Indonesian tour, which you got to understand to our Indonesian listeners that are hearing this right now and thinking that we sound like fucking total idiots. I'm sorry. The average American doesn't know shit about Indonesia, and if you told me that I could not believe that you could do 18 shows, 20-day tour in Indonesia, but you can. It has one of the biggest populations in the world, so it makes sense, but it's just not a ton of landmass, you know? So
right.
At any rate, say that again.
Right.
Oh, I missed you. So
roll out.
we go around. I needed help. It was immensely helpful. Because I needed to pick up electronics. By the way, Jakarta has 32 million people in the metro area. So if you count
so Texas and a metro area, Jesus.
Yes, exactly. I mean, bigger than Australia's population in just this region of Indonesia. So the city itself, I think, has 11 million. The metro area has 32. Just a massive. Insane. Yeah, really.
Yeah, that population density is almost incomprehensible to most Americans, most true. Westerners, I'd bet. So
yes, 100%. And so here's what I, I thought, okay, I need to buy a specific piece of electronics that is not available in Perth, which has a metro area of 2 million people. I find this in Jakarta?
Super Mario Brothers yes. 3.
Yes, you can find anything. You can find anything in Jakarta because 32 million people means that there's just
demand. They got it.
Anything.
What do you have to buy? I'm curious. Are you allowed to say?
An Oculus Quest 2 for my stepson.
Did you get it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah. That's cool.
And they don't have really that. Cool. I mean, I feel like that's like a thing you can find places. They just don't have enough.
Perth is sold out. I would have to wait a week and a half. So,
well, you just go to Jakarta and buy it.
Yeah.
How was the price?
But the US dollar is very strong against the Indonesian rupee at the moment. So I killed it. Unless he handed me a box of bricks.
Yeah.
In which case it's not.
What is that? Usually like $300 US? Oculus Quest.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to talk about the show a little bit.
Please.
So I'm trying to think of who played.
Angel Dust played.
Yeah, they did, but I'm trying to do the lineup.
Please do.
Forgive me on the opening band. I was in the parking lot talking to some people. I apologize, but Bleach was playing when I walked in, and really interesting sound. It was like to me it was like Demise with kind of modern metal parts on occasion, like, or groove metal parts on occasion. Like, obviously taking a lot from the harder side of New York and maybe a tiny bit of Cleveland. Fun set. And then Zip played. And I think for our listeners, Zip would probably be a no-brainer that more people should check out. What struck me was the universal language of Glue by SSD.
Sure.
It doesn't matter where you're from. We're all speaking Glue.
It's an OG fight riff, man. It's guttural. Everybody feels it.
Grabs you. So they did. I'm pretty sure they did an AF song too, but I was in the back talking to Angel Dust. Saw them play Glue. I think, like I said, everybody check out Zip. I think that's one. I'd check out Bleach too, of course, but I think for our listeners, Zip would really pop.
And Pat, Bob, let me just interrupt you for 1 second. I'm going to, like, I tried to find the flyer for the show to see if, like, we could give the first band their props or whatever.
Yeah.
And sure. There's Angel Dust posted a photo. Someone's wearing a Shore style, simple, like, style shirt, but it's Jakarta style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same color, front way, and everything. Yeah, yeah. It's fucking awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's the homie. We got a homie over there.
Shout out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got a band. It's really good. Damn. Yo, shout out. Oh, I'm forgetting his name, but he's an OG Shore Style International. Jakarta's number one.
Love it.
There's some Tokyo style shirts too, but
so cool.
Jakarta, maybe.
So,
maybe a little bit.
I mean, Jakarta, listen, both great places, and really, really good scene. So everybody, this is more ignorance on my part. Just bear with me. It's a high ticket price. So like relative to the income in Jakarta. So, or in Indonesia. So I thought, oh, maybe the kids in, Still Broken opened up the set, opened up the show. Cool. So
Still Broken,
Still Broken. Can't say how they sounded because I was outside, but the merch was cool. I thought maybe Hardcore Heroes for kind of the upper class almost, right? But I was talking to Gaga about this, and he was explaining, no, most of the kids are kind of broke. But what you can do is, and I guess you do this in the U.S. on festivals, pay in increments, right? So you pay $6.
Oh, sure.
So they got to announce shows early so that kids can payment plan it up.
Do like down payment.
Damn, man. Whatever.
And because here's the interesting thing is, you know, when I say Modern Guns plays in front of 2,000 people, that's true. And that's a huge achievement, but they're playing for an Indonesian audience that, and it's a touring act. So those tickets are relatively low ticket costs to us. Whereas Angel Dust or any international band,
right. It's a big price. Yeah.
Big price. So, one thing that I had never experienced, here's a question for you two fellas. Do you believe that you have attended you've seen every permeation or every variation on a hardcore show that up till this point in human history? It sounds like a bold statement, but we've also been around a long time, been to a lot of shows. Would anything shock you in terms of show format or show, anything related to a show? Do you feel like you could see something you hadn't seen before?
The only thing was like if it was like, you know, an evening with Madball and it was just Madball playing. Yeah, like, you know, like Metallica weird. Would do that. That would be the only thing. Like we've
seen one band shows.
Yeah, we've seen nobody in VFW halls. We've seen nobody in clubs. We've seen packed VFW halls. We've seen packed VF clubs, and we've seen hardcore bands playing fucking arenas places. Like there's no
inside, outside, small show, Dust Bowl, this, that. Backyards,
bridges,
alleyways, yeah, bridges, everything. I will say this. I thought about it and I wanted to say no, yes, there's got to be something out there. I like Tom's answer. The idea of Madball doing a storytellers, like VH1 storytellers style show, like in between sets, Freddie sitting on a stool, he's like, all right, this one's about a time. Guy owed me some money. And well, let's just play this track, and it's like, whoa!
I would Axegrind will sponsor that if we can make that happen.
Yo, look, here's the thing: we will sponsor it. Tickets are $100. Madball keeps $75 a ticket. We'd all make bank. Everybody's paying to see that show. Everybody wants to see it. People are going nuts. Anyways, so no, we haven't seen it. But there was a second for how you were speaking and setting this up, and I didn't want to spoil it. When I've been to shows internationally, and I've been a few, not a crazy amount, Mexico City, Guadalajara struck me. There was kind of just a different energy in there. But then I was like, you know what? That one show was kind of like a show I went to in Albuquerque. So, yeah, yes, we've seen – it feels as though I've seen almost every permutation.
And in terms of sponsors of shows, right, you know, not corporate necessarily, but business cosigns on
for sure.
Shows. We think we've probably seen it all. But by the time that the Scion era had come and passed, it felt like, okay, so boxy cars are now sponsoring hardcore shows. I've seen it all. I had a new experience in Jakarta. When you buy your ticket, they hand you a pack of cigarettes.
Wow.
Never experienced that.
Was that an all ages show?
You know what? I think it was an all ages show.
Wow. How are the smokes? You down? You getting a new brand or what?
No, I declined. Although somebody who was on tour with Angel Dust one of the Angel Dust guys was like, I never smoke, but they're so free.
They're so free,
but
cigarettes, yeah, they're free.
I'd never seen any shit like this. Everybody in Jakarta does smoke, so I guess it's congruent in some way, but I'd never been offered.
We played Germany where everybody smokes and they ain't handing out fucking
packs of cigarettes. But also, I mean, in Perth, I forget what the tax on cigarettes is, but I'm often in line behind people at the grocery store buying cigarettes. I think you'd have to be independently wealthy to smoke here. You know what I mean?
Like same thing in New York.
Good.
Yeah. Taxes are fucking insane.
Pack of cigarettes in New York are like $12, $13.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm along those lines. Because it's
cost pack of cigarettes.
You might be able to make, and this is for our friends at Customs, you might be able to make a run of this. This is like the old North Country bootleg market where you could be driving to, the Customs, the duty-free and getting Canadian cigarettes and bring them down. You could be going to Jakarta and getting them free cigs and importing them into Earth and just that little side hustle, Mr. Side Hustle over here.
In Australia, in Western Australia, they are $30 US for a pack. everybody look into quitting if that's your lifestyle. But
yeah, look into quitting. Jesus.
So that I had never seen that before. The energy at the show was great. The people were great. Everybody was there to have a good time. Felt like a great scene. I'd heard this from the dudes in Anxious. I'd heard this from people that had been recently that Jakarta just rules, and it's not wrong. I learned a lot. If anybody has any questions about Jakarta, everybody wants to go during Northern Hemisphere winter, because that summer is presumably when a lot of people would want to do Australia, which is kind of absurd because Australia in the summer is unlivably hot. But that's okay. So, but you don't want to be in. I'd rather be in Australia in February than the United States. So I get it. But what I thought was interesting was they can't actually get very many permits to do shows because or any international shows because they have an election coming up. And I guess things are a little fraught, but it's just one of those circumstances where they're just, you're not a priority. And as we've seen from places like Singapore in recent history that have had a real problem with some bands getting jammed up on immigration stuff, some bands getting basically shaken down. There's situations, like, for example, I learned if Drug Church was to play Malaysia, for example, and the Philippines as well, we would probably have to, they were talking about having us play as self-defense. And the reason for that is because having drug in your name is
prohibited. Oh, right.
Frowned upon.
Yeah, frowned upon in a place where they kill you.
DC, like when WSOU, yeah. Seton Hall used to be like, they wouldn't say Most Precious Blood. They'd go the artist formerly known as Indecision.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do some shit like that. But at any rate.
Or a self-defense family just tours there.
You could do like a combo thing and just, you could be like the David Koresh and then everyone else is just, you know, changes around you.
I was thinking we should probably do that whole region. As much as neither band, I don't think, wants to play with each other, not because there's any beef, just because I think that that would probably make the most financial sense. But anyway,
I got it. So the guys from Drug Church are like, "Hey, this is going to work out really well for us. We got the idea for you. When we do this tour, we're going to have our friend come along. You and him are going to split money, so you'll get all the self-defense money and then half the Drug Church money you'd normally get." And you're like, "Oh, who's that?" And they're like, "Oh, it's our friend Sammy Hagar."
Oh.
Singing for Drug Church.
Yeah.
Would you acquiesce? Would you say, okay, Sammy Hagar can sing for Drug Church?
100%.
In Southeast Asia. Okay. All right.
Anybody who's seen Drug Church knows that anybody can sing for Drug Church.
You're like slight dissing him and yourself at the same time. Like, you're at least the Sammy Hagar level singer, right?
No, listen, it's not heavy lifting. I'm going to say that. My time in Jakarta was great. I spent time with nice people. I did not expect at all to be to connect with anybody, just because it's in a city of in a metro area of 32 million people. I expected to be very anonymous, but as I said, I was, I think, the only white face. I said, "Is there any other whites in here?" And somebody said, "I thought I saw a guy." but I didn't
and they pointed to Justice guy. And they're like, "Oh, I know that guy already."
Yeah. Really, really wonderful people, and what looks like a really strong scene. And
how big was the show, if you don't mind me asking? General ballpark.
I don't know, people? At least 200. 500? It felt like
cool.
That's awesome. But it could have been more than that, honestly. I was not very good at this. No, I'm not very good at this. You know what? Let's say 300, because I was on stage watching the band, and my angle was not great. But if it felt a good sized room, actually, yeah, I have no judge because it was a very good sized room and it felt full. So I have no fucking idea. But
it's so fucking cool, man. That is so cool.
Cynical hearts out there, go ahead.
It was awesome to see. My impression is that Jakarta puts on for anything that comes through town, because it feels vetted. You know what I mean? It feels like it's only there because it's stuff people want. So
that's so cool.
So people come. you know, financially, maybe it would be a hassle to have three shows of that size a month. That's, I could see that being a problem. But if you get an opportunity to go to Jakarta as a band, it seems completely worth it. I'm surprised I don't see, maybe other bands don't have podcasts, but I'm shocked that I don't hear other bands talking about it, because it just, it was just such a, it left such an impression on me. Everything from the fucking free cigarettes, to the, just kind of like positivity coming off of people, you know, when you've got, like Daniel from Angel Dust, stage diving and moshing, for the Jacquardin version of Glue, you feel like you feel like hardcore is doing it right, you know.
You just saved the Travel Bureau of Jakarta quite a bit of money. The glowing endorsement of from the free cigarettes to the positivity, Jakarta, it's Jakarta. Yours, the world. Just to the cynical hearts, I want to say, there's a part of me that's like, oh, somebody might be like, oh, I'm going to Jakarta, I'm going to be this weird place, my seat's moving all around. Why am I going to go to an Angel Dust show? You know, fuck that. Listen to this. I think when you were talking about meeting new people, I've had that experience at different shows I've been at in a faraway place, and it's always like super positive, just super positive.
It's so much fun to go to like see so somebody cool. that you know. Somewhere mm-hmm. else, like I got to see Sick of It All in Dublin.
Oh yeah, like, that's great.
When people go, like, when you walk in and go, "Hey man, what the fuck are you doing here?" Like,
yeah.
Like I saw you in Brooklyn last night. It's so much. It's cool just to kind of see the response. It's like, it's a different show. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Let me also say, Angel Dust has a new record out. Yes. That there was some kerfuffle with vinyl. So there was a tiny bit of a vinyl delay, which is why I'm chalking that up to why I haven't heard this yet. Not that I would buy it on vinyl, but that just that the conversation would reach me in a different way. You know what I mean? So, today it is on my agenda to listen to the new Angel Dust, because I don't know how often we talk about it. They're a very good live band. They are
absolutely.
In addition to having some tracks, they're just good. And
I mean, look, it's hard for me to say this. It's like on the heels of Trapped Under Ice, who was generationally important. I'm not trying to low sell Angel Dust, because I actually think this is going to tie into a game we're doing next recording or in a couple weeks on an episode. So I'm not going to do it. Angel Dust is generationally important, but that might be low selling how great their live show is. It's great.
It's really good.
When they decide to turn it on. I mean, you know, we did talk about this at the Sound and Fury, whatever it was, 2 years ago. We went in, all of us, everybody who was in our house with us, we were like, man, I don't know. Is Angel Dust going to own the day? How's their set going to be? You know, I don't want to say we were like low on it. We just were curious. We weren't sure. There was no doubt left afterwards. Like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. No, have no fear. Justice and Angel Dust are here. They stomped. They stomped. So,
yeah.
Big shout out.
They stomped Jakarta. So it was, I'm trying to think of what else I have to say about it. I was really genuinely fascinated by this conversation with Gaga from Modern Guns, and I talked to a few kids about kind of what your ambitions are as a band from a place like Jakarta, because as you imagine, it's probably very frustrating to even be a European band in some respects, because everybody would like to get to the United States if not, you know, at least once, right? Just because it's something for the bucket list. And European bands, even really great ones, sometimes can't get any purchase in the US. And we've talked about it a lot. But
that's right.
Because Americans are very spoiled and they only want to, they only like bands that they know that they're going to see. And certain bands, you know, Raw Brigade, for example, Higher Power, have really made an effort to penetrate the US and continue doing it over and over again, even at probably really great expense to them, you know? And, but the reason is they know that Americans only care about things that, that they're going to see. And, I think it must be really frustrating. And this is the impression that I got from some people in Jakarta. It's frustrating probably to be, kind of at the top of your game. But getting the, you know, the largest market in the world, for the type of music that you're playing, getting them to pay any attention to you is not easy. You're going to stay for the heads basically, in the US unless you can tour it all the time, which is just totally impractical. And I don't know. I just, talking to some kids out there, just like, I felt that because I remember, and Tom, this is probably like a memory that you can really access when you are young in a band. Europe is the thing. And
yeah,
when you feel like you can't get there, and we've seen hardcore go through different eras where at one point it was, you were popping if you could get to Europe, and then Europe became oversaturated where you were just, you could get to Europe if you were a band.
Right. Then we have a demo out, we're there. I'm like, oh, okay.
No. Then it was like, oh, there's bands who just exist only to tour Europe and don't hit the US. Yep, that's right.
And now I think the offers coming out of Europe for a number of reasons are not as strong. So I think it's going back to the point where it's kind of there's a touch of exclusivity or whatever, or you could be locked out of it at least. And so that memory of, oh, I really want to go there. What do I have to do to go there? I think is interesting to see through the lens of somebody from Southeast Asia about the United States rather than an American trying to do Europe or Australia, you know?
Yeah. It's a good point. It is a totally different thing.
And the US don't make it easy of getting into the country.
No, I mean, listen, as consumers of music, we're fucking stupid assholes.
You know, well, and the government doesn't make it easy to just like, come on over. How many bands do you know, like, that have like major tours like canceled because like, oh, our visas didn't get approved or they're fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever one guy got arrested or, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever I see that happen, I feel deep anxiety for the promoter or booking agent or whoever was responsible for navigating. Like, imagine being a DIY promoter trying to bring over a Swedish band and you've never done it before and you have to navigate this bullshit immigration process and visa process or whatever. And if you don't dot the I, you're out the money that you spent and the band eternally mad at you.
I mean, think about like in our time, a lot of times, like we didn't get paperwork.
Oh yeah.
We just said we were driving through Toronto to get to Buffalo or whatever. Like we weren't, going to Europe. Yeah. We were just like, don't fucking bring anything. Just
For anybody that's, I don't know if I ever run into this type of person, but for anybody that doubts my DIY credentials, I have done every form of illegal touring. I have 100% here. Let me incriminate myself. Statute of limitations is
over. Bona fides.
I have 100% toward Europe and the UK illegally. I have 100% toward Canada illegally. Everybody, this was many years ago. And in the case
of Patty Crime thing,
is listening,
over here.
This is for
entertainment. Yeah, seriously. You just got Razor Cake gave you an award, and then you got the Heart Attack Man of the Year going for yourself here. Good job,
Here's my point is, this was very normal for a very long time.
Normal. It was just the way these things worked.
Yes. And probably still do to a large extent. I'm sure that there's DIY touring that is completely, I guess we'll say under the table, so to speak, but
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
I think that obviously you can't do that when going to Indonesia and places like that, because when you don't speak the language at all, you don't want to get things fucked up. You know what I mean? Like it's very frustrating to be in a circumstance. I can't lawyer with people who don't speak my language. I can turn on the lawyer a little bit when Tom says no. I can turn on the lawyer a little bit when
dude goes to school for religious studies and he thinks he's a fucking lawyer. What is this?
No, listen. Let me say it like this. I can Karen out on people that speak my
language. That's correct. Humanities department of every liberal arts school really pushes the confidence level through the roof, Tom. I'll tell you what.
Yes.
I'm sure.
But when people don't speak my language, it's very difficult to kind of
let them know what your privilege is.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Don't you know?
I'm just talking about my customs experience now. It's difficult to know.
I'm picturing Patrick ask the custom guy, let me speak to your manager.
I get like that. I 100% I get like that. But you never know what's too far. You know what I mean? And in countries, in countries that'll incarcerate you for things that they won't incarcerate you for in the West, you really want to make sure that you, that you're official. You know, you want to make sure that things are going the right way.
They made a TV show, Locked Up Abroad. You don't want to get caught out there.
Yeah, no, I've said, yeah.
It's true.
That's my Jakarta scene report.
Jesus.
Thank you to everybody there who was super kind to me.
An hour in.
I'm sure Jakarta is interesting to a lot of our listeners.
Tom.
Sure. Yeah.
I heard a bird from the word that a couple bands stomped up Brooklyn the other night. Is this correct?
Yeah. So I met this wonderful guy named Jaja.
Oh.
On Montrose
Street. He was a real knee slapper. Yeah.
Real nice guy. So yesterday at Monarch, which was Saturday, it was Roll Call, Wild Side, Age of Apocalypse, 108 Judge.
Damn.
Good show. 108 was awesome. Vic is still weird.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure he played without distortion the whole time.
Really?
He played like clean guitar, which is a little weird.
Okay.
A little strange.
Damn, Shawty.
Yeah. Kate played the full set with them, which was awesome. She looked like she was having a ball. Awesome. I don't know who the drummer is. It's not Mike Justinian, or just like the dude that's in Madball that was in like Red Chord and Unearth. Like he's been in 108 forever, but it wasn't him. So I don't know who was playing drums. Uh-huh. But they sounded great. They played Curse of Instinct, and I thought of everybody, the three of us on this podcast. How we talk about that, like how. That'll be like our you know, like when we go full Joker, that'll be the theme song.
It's a good full Joker theme song.
I thought it was great. Vic broke his guitar. So that he had to use Kate's guitar, and then Kate was using Charlie from Judge's guitar, and it's a very harried situation. Judge sounded better than they sounded in a very long time.
Oh yeah,
Angel Apocalypse got a big reaction. It was cool. It was a good show. Yeah, it was at the Monarch. Pretty decent crowd. It was cool.
Not full, but pretty full.
And, yeah, I'll put people's dirt on the street. Probably half full.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, I felt like seeing that lineup, good mix of new and old, but
I don't know. That's a very big room.
Yeah, that's the issue. This ain't even about those bands. It's just a big room. That's a big room to fill.
There's probably 700 people there, but like.
Right. How can we be mad about 700 people at the show? Damn. Right.
But when the room fits 1,200, it's rough.
Yeah, this is why I don't know. Listen, I don't know whose decision it was to go into this room. I'm sure that getting, very, very, very part-time bands to play is not, you have to make not financial cheap. Sense. Yeah. You have to make financial sense, but
there's no space for that though. Where are they going?
No.
Meadows is like 400.
Yeah.
They need something bigger than that.
You need, in my view, the best possible outcome for that show is relatively high ticket price, 500 cap room.
And a very full 500 cap room when they play.
Very full 500 cap room that just pops and everybody has a good memory of it. But for everybody, there's practical concerns about getting adults who are spread all over to play a one-off. It's got to make fun.
I mean, it was a weekend.
Okay. So, where else do they play?
Boston and in Connecticut. But I mean, also so you're saying like, 500 cap. I mean, the ticket, I think, with fees and everything, was like $38.
Okay. Yeah.
So by you going like, we'll do a 500 cap, you're leaving, $8,000 on the table.
I know. Listen.
So like, and that's cool because that you're thinking as the guy in the crowd.
I'm
for the band. Right. They're gonna be like, I'll take another $4,000.
You know what though? I can speak on this with some stakes for myself. Already fighting booking agents about the Drug Church headliner because we are underplaying in most or many shows for this exact purpose so that people have more fun at the shows. And yes, we are leaving many, many thousands of dollars on the table.
And now who is that your idea or is the whole band on board and
well, I'd like to thank Drain for this. Drain really confirmed this in our mind. So Drain's agent, Max, to his credit, he really fought for venues to go no barrier. But yeah,
true.
This is putting people's kind of business in the street in a way. That's not easy, and it's also plainly impossible over a certain size. And so you have to balance kind of what size rooms you want to play versus is it more important that everybody has a great time and they come to the next show, or is it more important that you don't have to explain to your partner that you missed out on $10,000
right
individually because on a tour
but the shows were so lit.
Yeah but the shows were cool. So
that's
lit.
Not gonna pay the cable bill, you dill hole.
Now you know what though, what Drain did on that tour, and I mean this is, we're singling out Drain, there's other bands who do this, but yeah, shout out to them. That tour was a downhill snowball, right? Like it gained momentum, and it was the kind of thing where I think shows in week three benefited from the decision to do that in week one because it made it maybe I was on the fence. Every one of these shows looks so damn hype. I got to be there. I got to go to the show now. And that meant that, the show in LA was cool. But then a couple weeks later, the show in Fort Worth was cool. And then the show in Atlanta DC was cool, is you know, monster. Everywhere, everything. It's just one of those things. Yeah, exactly. Like it builds. And so, I mean, those decisions, it's both. Now, someone could accuse you of just lighting money on fire, and they might be right.
They're right.
But in the long term, it's like, yo, I don't remember whatever. You know, I've seen a ton of shows. The ones that stick out are the shows that just were so goddamn awesome as a audience member, as just somebody going to the show. That makes a difference. And it kind of, some of those things end up being the long-term difference of being like, yeah, this is one of the best bands. This was a band that not only put out tracks, but was a must of the moment. And, you know, I think Drain pushed themselves there, or pushing themselves there with some of those choices on tour. And I mean, you know, like you get to do those things, and it's one of those things for people in bands to understand. You have those decisions you can make. You have the agency. Are there sacrifices that go along with that? Well, of course there are. You don't want a barrier? Okay. That venue saying, no thanks, we don't care. That means the check that you're getting might be smaller, full stop. Okay. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to the whole experience?
Look, for practical purposes, for people at home, let me put it like this. If you can... Now, I'd like everybody to put themselves in the mind of somebody who tours full-time or very near full-time, right? So you're talking about somebody who...
Their job.
It's their job. And you can play a 1,200 cap and fill seven, but get that really strong guarantee that's associated with 1,200 cap. Or... you can play for significantly less money, but a guaranteed good time in a 500 cap. Now place yourself in the mind of somebody who has to come home and pay rent for the next 3 months off of your touring. It's obviously an equation. There's some calculus to be done here. So,
Do you think this is going to be a change? Like, do you think this will be like a kind of huge change in, like, someone's going to figure out the way to be like, we can bring these shows to 2,500 caps, but here's what it entails. We need to bring fucking an X amount dollar insurance policy. It's going to, like, do you think this will be like a sea change that we're like, someone's going to have to figure it out. Like, whether it be the Turnstiles, whether it be Drain, whether it be Drug Charge Fiddlehead, someone's going to have to figure out, like, because like Drain can stay at this level forever and be able to manage everything, but they're not going to, they're going to be bigger. And it's almost, like you said, it's impossible to get into a 3,000 cap room without a barrier. Like, they're not going to do it for insurance reasons. There's no way, DIY spot or not.
So,
or independent, not DIY, like an independent.
No, giant
room. Like, they're not going to do that because it's a fucking liability.
So Turnstile and Knocked Loose, to my knowledge, both carry their own individual liability insurance for injury at shows. Right. And, Drug Church, I think we're going to pay 10 grand on our next fucking headliner to the way that it works. My understanding is you pay for a year at a time, and you have to estimate the amount of shows that you're playing, and
quote the exposure, right?
Your quote is based on that. So then if you go overage on that, then there's fees associated, right?
Uh-huh. Does it manage about capacities? Does that factor into it?
Yes.
That's a good question.
All that stuff.
It has to.
100%. 100%.
If you play 200 shows in front of 15 people, they don't even like.
So
live event and those kind of policies, they want to know figures, and they don't. They're going to base it on thresholds, and auditing will include like the receipts, but. Just to get a policy, as long as it's in range. I mean, even whether it's a one-off event type liability insurance, or if it's an actual policy, like a term policy, like Patrick's speaking about. Yeah, that stuff's very real. Sorry, continue.
No worries. So, because I'm somewhat ignorant. I just started chasing this past summer, trying to figure out, you know, exactly how to do this. Because again, we didn't have any major injuries on any of the tours that we've done this past few years, or past year. But I think Chicago, a kid shattered his leg, like, you know, bone sticking out, stuff like that. And you want to be, you want to, firstly, you don't want anybody to get hurt at shows. I mean, look, like, this is a whole heavy conversation, but there's, I never want to see anybody hurt. I think I've said this before. I'm getting older, and I start seeing some of the younger people in the crowd as they could legitimately be my kids. So I don't want to see anybody hurt. It's just a terrible thing. But then there's also the selfish thing that I don't want to see anybody hurt because you're fucking my day up. And then but whatever it is, I still want to give people the opportunity to, of their own volition, engage with. Now, I don't necessarily, I've been on record as saying I don't necessarily consider Drug Church a hardcore band, but I want people to engage with the best parts of live music, the best parts of what we do. And me, that is to me, that's stage diving. To me, that's movement. To me, that there's a whole thing that you're missing out on if that's not part of the experience. So to people who are available to that and want to do that, I want them to be able to. So, not that we're fucking martyrs or anything, but I'm being, we've discussed it as a band.
You're going to be the change.
Well, no, not at all. I'm never.
Now, but do you think, has anyone spoken to the venues? Being like, yo, if we walk in with this policy, will you move the barrier? Are you indemnified or do they need to match it? Like, how does this work?
Right. So we should actually have an expert on to talk about that because there's still venues that are going to tell you no. Right. Like there's still venues that'll say no.
1,000%. 1,000%. Cause it's different parties. There's different culpability. So,
you're safe, licensed, but yeah.
Someone who's licensed in insurance, but a very different form. essentially the way, and this is easy to understand, is that there's different parties that someone could go after for liability. Right. Like, well, there's the people, the place it's at, the venue. There's the people promoting the show, if it's a company or if it's an individual. I'll be honest. I'm taking this out of the hardcore world. And there's a whole conversation to have about the real thing is if you're going to a hardcore show, maybe you don't need to be litigious if you know what you did was on you, but that's a different conversation. On a liability, insurance, et cetera level, there's the venue, there's the promoter. There's the artist, the act performing. Some of that feels like a stretch. You know what I mean? There's also like, how did the injury happen? Was it due to the security guard? Well, that person could be personally liable. Was it another participant? Was it a guy who swung his hand and fractured your orbital lobe? Well, you could hold that person both personally, civilly liable, but also potentially criminally, right? So those things all factor in. And, you know, in these situations, without getting specific, quite often if someone's looking to go after someone, they go after all parties.
Right. And then hopefully some people will settle or fucking fall away or whatever, but they're going to throw everything at the wall and see. So, Drug Church may be safe, but, like, the venue's not going to be safe or whatever, like...
And that's what a lot of venues, because you asked that great question. I think it is a great question. Would some venues be like, well, okay, you're going to take that responsibility? They might try to basically say that, hey, we'll take the barricade down, but the artist assumes all responsibility, liability, right? Like there's there's a specific,
like an indemnification agreement kind of thing.
That's exactly right. The indemnification, there's another term for it I'm not remembering, but it's fully indemnified from any responsibility. And that is the kind of thing where they would potentially ask, like, hey, okay, artist, Drug Church in this example, sure, but here, sign off on this. And that's where it's like, do we feel comfortable saying that? You know, what happens if your security guard macks someone in the head? Are you on the hook for that? You know? And it's like, all of a sudden it's a lose-lose, you know?
Right. Oh, and I mean, now, especially with the scene becoming younger and younger by the day.
Yep.
Like it used to be like
newer.
You broke your fucking arm. You go, that was shitty. my insurance will cover it, whatever. Now you're going home. Kids' parents are going to be like, wait, what happened? Oh, I stage dove and I clipped my leg on a barrier and I broke my ankle. They're going to be like, who played? Drug Church.
Yep.
Where was this? Fucking wherever, you know.
Yeah.
Music Hall of fucking Alabama. Okay.
Yeah.
Who put that show on? Fucking Joe Smith. Okay. Like,
Joe Smith.
Parents are not going to let it slide. Like, back in it, I mean, not to sound like in my day, but like, you know how many people I know that got hurt at CBGBs? Like, that, like, CB should have been like, I had a friend that slipped and cut himself. There was like an aluminum piece in the middle of the dance floor.
Yes.
That, like, you mean on the floor, right?
Yes, like literally, like in the middle of the floor.
Yes.
Like, he cut himself on that, like, slice his back open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, who got fucking moshed into and got fucking faces broken or arms broken or, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, people went home or like, I was an idiot or like, I went there knowing that. But like, in today's like more litigious world, like, that's not going to slide. Like, your parents' insurance may cover all your, you know, things, but like, they're going to want their pound of flesh.
Yeah.
That's like, where I fall into the conversation here, where on a personal perspective, I think that it's hardcore is not a place that there should be some self-actualized, like, personal responsibility. And like, this gets weird. It's a weird conversation to have, but the idea that you're entering this premise, and, you know, you guys know me, I'm the first to be like, yo, man, I don't like when hardcore is used as an excuse for violence, senseless, hurting someone else, blah, blah, blah. Any of that stuff. But on the flip side of that coin, look, you're entering an area where there's a lot of things you can't protect. Yo, man, I think there's a lot of dudes out here who should get CBGB's tattoos on their lower back, because there's a lot of slip discs just from falling off that stage, walking on that crooked-ass floor. Jesus Christ, my back hurts thinking about falling at CB's. That shit sucks. But never once has it crossed my mind to sue a venue, sue a promoter, sue a band, sue an individual who knocked me sideways during a cover or during a song at a show. Like, yo, man, I had a real bad busted up nose during some band who covered Breakdown at Casino Skate Park in like 98 or 99. Never did I go, man, I better find out who did this. Who cares, man? That's on me. I was in that pit. That's what it was. That's just what it is.
I mean, listen, no, I agree with you fully, and I wish that everybody held that view because it would make my life easier. But
that's true.
I don't know. Regarding the trade-off that bands have to make, you also asked, how do venues approach this? We had multiple venues. I won't say which tour, cause I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but say to us, hey, like, cool venue owners, like dudes who are from a thing that we would recognize would say
the world.
Yeah. They'd say, hey, I can get rid of the barrier if you want. And you'd say, you sure? And they'd say, yeah, you be careful. And you'd say, I'll be as careful as I could be. Yeah. But that's somebody who is risking it all so that people have a good time at their venue. Cause they've already sold. We've already sold the room. You know what I mean? There's
here's my question too, though. Knowing how litigious stuff is, like, you can put on like the back of a baseball ticket that, you know, you may get struck by a batted ball or a fucking a wayward bat or whatever. And that, and like, I get hit with a fucking line drive like by Pete Alonso and Mets go, well, when you bought the ticket, you like bought the ride.
Said, yeah.
why don't more people like put on the back? Like, if you stage, like, you know, they put no stage dive in, which has become like a meme that you're like, oh, fuck you. I'm at a punk show. I'm going to fucking stage dive. If they put more, like, I mean, like, we always joke about the Albany, like, sign this waiver when you walk into the Q&Q thing.
Yeah.
But like, I wonder why there's not more like, if you choose to stage dive, if you choose to mosh, whether it be a fucking, you know, the fucking brick DM, the brick hall that we all went to and
DAV, yeah.
I was going to call it DMV. It's not DMV. Yeah. The brick DAV, like, every, like, from that to the fucking, you know, 4,000 caps. Why don't they have that on the back of a ticket to be like, it's all at your own risk. You're not going to see Coldplay. You're going to see Drain. Someone may mosh into you. Someone may land on you.
Yeah, well, there's another thing going on there too, where this is me speaking very honestly, and in a way I probably shouldn't. I open myself up for additional liability by encouraging certain behaviors.
That's so, right. More stage dives.
Well, we talked about that. Like, you're kind of in bringing it on yourself by like making something like enticing someone to do that.
Yes, and you know, as with my sensibilities and moral compass in this world, I see every individual as responsible for their own behavior, full stop. And that
correct.
That's not going to help me in a court of law.
No,
unfortunately, court doesn't see that way. No, I mean, Patrick, I shout out to the people watching this video on Patreon. We love you. This is the first time we're doing this, I think. So the face you made, it's this telling. You talked about the cool venue owner, the of the world venue owner who's doing the, hey, I can get rid of the venue for you guys. And you're like, are you sure? And there's the pregnant pause. Yeah. Just be careful. I've heard that exact transaction. I've heard it verbalized. I've been on both ends of it, to be honest. And you feel the risk and weight in what they're saying and how they're saying it. And that's just what I want people to realize. I want everyone to stage dive. I want everyone to mosh. I want everyone to have that thrill. Full stop. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if it's your first show, your 100th show, your 1,000th show. Do what feels right for you. Do it. Music brings you to it. Do it. That said, the other side is I hope people, like we talk about this, the QE2 waiver, right? You know, that shit ain't worth the paper it's printed on in a court of law. You know what I mean?
But right. you're getting underage people to sign, like, unless their parents are signing off on it, that shit don't mean nothing.
That's right. And people probably writing Peter Pan and, you know, Joe Blow and all that shit. So that said, Glenn Falls, whatever.
I never thought that that's a full name.
that puts it in their head that, hey, be responsible for yourself. You know, your actions are your actions. Take responsibility. And I think that's part, and that probably, and may, you know, there's plenty of foolish people out there, but you give benefit of the doubt and you say, hey, this is actually as important as having this flimsy piece of paper that really don't mean shit. You know what I mean? Like, me and you can write a contract on a piece of paper and say, hey, I wrote, if Patrick eats a vegan donut on the next tour, you owe me $1 million, and we both signed it. That's a contract. Fucking no, it's not, bro. Like, what are we talking about? Right. You know, like, that just isn't what it is. So I don't know. I agree too, though. There's the Mets signing off on that, the baseball thing, and there's all that stuff. I want it to be understood. If you hear this sound of our voices, all that, if you're at a hardcore show, if you're at a live music event that encourages these kind of behaviors, enjoy it. Be aware of it. Also be aware you're choosing to be a part of that. And I have, with rare exception, the 1 out of 100, if not 1 out of 500, if not 1 out of 1,000 shows, been in a situation where you were unavoidably a part of the action. Right? Oh, no. Tom, you can speak to this too. Pat, you can speak to this. If you don't want to be a part of the action, you don't want someone to stage dive on you, you find a place. You don't want someone moshing into you, you can find a place. You don't want to be up front singing along, have a mic smash in your face, have someone's foot in your face, you can find a place. Where you are is under your control. All these things. So
yeah. You're in the drop zone, baby. I give credit.
That's right. I give credit to the bands who are being conscientious of this. It's a survival thing. It's a self. It's a protective measure. It's unfortunate that it's unfortunate that there's a perception it's necessary. But I also don't disagree with it at all. For when you hit a certain size, the risk could be the endeavor. Full stop.
But I think we're talking about it as like veterans of this and having experiences and knowing, like, I stood up first front once. Some dude landed on me. And I couldn't move my neck for a month and a half. We know that.
Oh.
I think there's so many younger people that have learned this, you know, watched it on the internet. Did I ever tell you this? I might have told the story. Like, we played, not to be like, here's my story, but we played a wonderful show in Albany, New York at Valentine's with, and Pat could talk about MPB and Valentine's in the early aughts. Pretty wild. Right? Pretty crazy.
Popping.
And we were opening for the Movie Life and Thursday. Because Thursday likes hardcore and they liked us and they asked us to play. Like, we did a weekend with them. So we played and there were definitely people up front waiting for Thursday.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. Did not know what was coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then people like also went above and beyond to like make sure like they were dicks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Years later, I'm sitting in my friend's living room and his roommate's like, yeah. I remember we drove up to Albany because I loved Thursday. We went to go see Thursday. He's like, and this fucking band opened and all their fans attacked us. And I go, well, because you didn't realize what was coming. Right. If you were like someone who had done that before, you'd be like, you know, like if I'm standing up front and I'm like, I really can't wait to see the fucking Get Up Kids or whatever. But it's like, oh, like Shattered Realm is on the stage right before them. I know their shows get wild. I'll probably get out of the way. Just let people have their fun and not be. I feel like there's so many younger people that like don't realize that like that first show. Cause we talked about this, like one of the first, like, I think it was God's Hate played a show like pretty soon there after the pandemic at like that midnight hour place. And like, there were definitely kids that had no idea that like saw it on like TikTok. I was like, I can't wait. And then like, people get fucking wild and they're like, oh Jesus, we didn't know it was going to be like this. Also, at the Judd show yesterday, I saw several people dressed up with like makeup and stuff on. Remember how Pat was like, people dress up like clowns? There were a lot of people. And I was like, oh, maybe because it's Halloween. It wasn't called Halloween. It was just people dressing up. The Juggalos have won.
God bless them. God bless them. But listen, on Patreon, here's what I suggest for a Patreon.
Yeah.
We expand on this notion of liability and injury and talk about the furry assault.
Okay. Yeah, we do. Yeah. Okay. So let's do that. I think we close the episode right here. Patrick gave the wonderful tourism board slogan for Jakarta. And Tom returned in kind, maybe a personal thank you to Patrick and his roots of 518, and said that for Albany's Board of Tourism, above and beyond to be dicks. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Albany, New York. Cool.